The writer David Ignatius begins his latest novel with a sweep along the main street of a mysterious city. The city is Tehran, and Ignatius follows the street that cuts through this metropolis on a mountainside, descending, he says, like icing dripping down the side of a coarse earthen bowl.
This is Valiasser Avenue, the spine of North Tehran. The avenue rises in the burly districts of downtown, where rage against the unbelievers is nurtured and sustained every Friday at prayers. And it ascends mile by mile till it reaches the heights of Jamaran, where one might think, to look at the Parisian fashions and big German cars, that the unbelievers are everywhere. But that is wrong. Nothing along this avenue is quite what it appears to be. That is the warning and the temptation.
David Ignatius takes on that temptation in his novel, The Increment. He tells the story of Western intelligence agencies tracking an Iranian nuclear scientist. The scientist named Karim knows some of his country's nuclear secrets.
And for all sorts of reasons, personal, emotional, a kind of reverse patriotism almost, he decides to begin sending information secretly to the CIA by sending communications to its website. That's actually something that people can do around the world. If you go to CIA.gov, you will notice there is an invitation to people to commit treason. Please send them along. It's his story and the story of the man who receives that information, a CIA officer named Harry Pappas.
What did you mean when you said reverse patriotism?
Well, I think betrayal is a complicated emotion, obviously, but there is a part of it that I think for the betrayer feels like patriotism. It's allegiance to another cause, not your own nation, but your conception of what your nation should be.
He's thinking that he's supporting Iran, but he is not supporting the current government and its nuclear ambitions.
He believes that the nuclear program is wrong. He grows to detest the regime and its hypocrisy, its inflexibility. He's a young man who's shaped by his father. His father was, in his own way, a revolutionary who felt betrayed by this revolution. And so it's his father who's his touchstone through the story.
We should mention, for those who don't know, that in addition to being a novelist whose last novel was made into a movie, you're also a journalist, a columnist for The Washington Post. You've covered the Middle East. You've covered U.S. intelligence agencies, which makes me wonder what exactly got you thinking about an Iranian scientist in this delicate situation with these divided loyalties.
Steve, like you, I've had the pleasure, because that's the right word, of visiting Iran. It may sound odd to describe it as pleasurable, but it's such an interesting, complicated place, most interesting place I've ever been in some ways. I was there in 2006, and the novelist in me, when I finished writing my columns from Iran, said, I've got to set a book here.
That must be intimidating, because the one thing that everybody comes away from Iran who's not from there saying is that it's an extraordinarily complicated place where you can never figure out what's going on.
Well, that's what makes it difficult for a journalist, but really fun for a novelist. I mean, you know, a novelist gets to play with the what-if issues. You and I go as journalists, and we're trying to dope out what's going on, and if we're not sure, we really don't feel we can write it. As a novelist, you can let go. You can imagine, well what if there was a person like this? What if the American who received this information from Iran was deeply troubled because he thought it might be driving the U.S. toward war with Iran? And what if he decided that he wanted to do something to stop that? So that's what the novelist in me, as opposed to the journalist, gets to do.
I'm glad you mentioned the American intelligence agent here, if that's the right term, because even though you describe a very complicated and perhaps divided government in Iran and people with divided loyalties, you describe Americans with divided loyalties and a government that may or may not feel like going to war with Iran over its nuclear program.
My CIA hero, Harry Pappas, is a man who, like many real-life CIA officers, is deeply troubled by what happened in Iraq, by the way in which the agency was used.
Manipulating intelligence before that war, and in
its own mistakes, let itself be used, and who's determined not to let that happen again, who sees a rush toward war with Iran as the intelligence comes in from this agent about the nuclear program, sees all of the wheels of the national security bureaucracy moving to push us toward war. And something in him just snaps, and he decides that to be faithful to himself, to be faithful to his larger idea of what America is and should do, that he has to betray the rules of his profession, too. Something like what's going on for the Iranian is happening for him.
Well, do you end up thinking that the U.S. government is in that complexity and in those divided loyalties maybe a little more similar to Iran's government than we'd ever want to admit?
Well, I think human beings are human beings wherever they are, and the pressures that play on them don't change with national boundaries. I think that the United States has lots of preventive mechanisms now that will keep us from rushing to war against Iran in the way that, frankly, we did with Iraq. This time, I think people have learned some lessons. But we'll see. We're beginning a year in which the reality of the Iranian nuclear program and the pressure to do something about it militarily is going to grow and grow. Just wait and see. We have Prime Minister Netanyahu coming to Washington
of Israel
soon, and he will be talking about the threat posed by Iran. And implicitly in what he says will be the idea that we have to have military options to deal with this.
You talked about the difference between approaching Iran as a journalist. You're trying to find out what you can prove, and sometimes it may be limited. And approaching Iran as a novelist, where you can speculate and think about the hints and clues that you've seen in reality and turn them into a story. If President Obama or one of his national security advisors is thinking about what to do with Iran, would you rather they think like a journalist or think like a novelist?
They need to do some of both. I think that often has been too much of the sort of sometimes limited and journalistic discussion, and people need to let their imaginations run. One problem that led to 9/11 was that we didn't let ourselves think how diabolical this adversary of al-Qaeda might be. Interestingly, the CIA, among the many people it called on after that, were Hollywood screenwriters, people who are in the business of making things up, because they wanted to think, what could these people do that we haven't yet let ourselves think about? So I think you need to imagine the threat. You also need to let yourself imagine ways to connect with and contact this country. Again, you and I have been there, and what we know about Iran, having seen it, is that the Iranian people, the society itself, is much more open to outside pressure, outside contact than most people think. You go to talk to newspaper editors, you find every strand of opinion about Ahmadinejad and the regime. So, you know, it is a place that really, I think, is yearning to connect with our world.
David Ignatius is author of The Increment. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.
And you can find an excerpt of The Increment at npr.org.